You are listening to Adventist World Radio, the voice of hope, the station that cares for you. It comes to you every Wednesday.
The program that brings you everlasting life and draws you closer to God.
In our program for tonight, you'll be listening to the Word of God's and Family Life Lecture.
And music will be flowing within our program. Stay tuned.
For more information about our programs, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908 or write to us at Message of Love Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda, or 247, Juba, Sudan.
For more, and just listen to this beautiful song.
Let us prepare ourselves to listen to Family Life Lecture.
I'm Petronella K. Mubita. Welcome to the program. Our topic today is having a happy and holy marriage. God's rule is perfect. A married couple must leave father and mother and establish their own home, even if finances require that it be a one-room apartment. Husband and wife should decide together on such policies as these. Then she should inform her relatives and he his. They must remain firm no matter who opposes. Thousands of divorces would be avoided if this rule were carefully followed. Successful marriages do not just happen. They must develop. Don't take each other for granted, or the monotony that results will destroy your marriage. Keep love growing by expressing love for one another, or it will die, and you will drift apart. Love and happiness are not found by seeking them for yourself, but rather by giving them to others. So spend as much time as possible doing things together if you would get along well. Learn to greet each other with enthusiasm. Relax, visit, shop, sightsee, eat together. Don't overlook the little courtesies, encouragements, and affectionate acts. Surprise each other with the little gifts or favors. Try to love each other. Don't take more out of marriage than you put into it. Divorce itself is not the greatest destroyer of marriage, but rather lack of love. Given a chance, love always wins. Don't forget that God Himself joined you together in marriage, and He intends for you to stay together and be happy. He will bring happiness and love into your lives if you will obey His divine rules, commandments. With God, all things are possible. Don't despair. God, who places love in the heart of missionary for a leprous savage, can easily give you love for each other if you will let Him. The devil will trap you with thoughts like this: our marriage was a mistake. She doesn't understand me. I can't take much more of this. We can always divorce if necessary. I will go home to my mother. He smiled at that woman. Thinking thoughts like these in your marriage is gone. Because your thoughts and senses govern your action, avoid seeing, saying, reading, or hearing anything that suggests impurity or unfaithfulness. Thoughts uncontrolled are like automobile in nature on a hill. Anything can happen. The result is always a disaster. To remain angry and upset over hurts and grievances is exceedingly dangerous unless quickly solved. Even little problems become set in your minds as convictions and attitudes, adversely affecting your whole philosophy of life. This is why God says to let anger cool before retiring at night. Be big enough to forgive and to say with sincerity, "I'm sorry." After all, no one is perfect, and you are both on the same team. So be sportsman-like enough to honestly admit a mistake when you make it. Besides, making up is a very present experience with unusual powers to draw marriage partners closer together. God suggests it. It works. Put Christ first. The real secret of true happiness in the home is not diplomacy, strategy, and an unretiring effort to overcome problems, but rather union with Christ. Hearts filled with Christ's love can never be very far apart. With Christ in the home, marriage will be successful. The gospel is the cure for all marriages that are filled with hatred, bitterness, and disappointments. It prevents thousands of divorces by miraculously restoring love and happiness. It will save your marriage too if you are willing. Pray loudly for each other. This is a wonderful rule that succeeds beyond the wildest dream. Kneel before God and ask Him for true love for one another, for forgiveness, for strength, for wisdom, for the solution to problems. God has given a personal guarantee that He will answer. The praying person is not automatically cured if all of his faults, but he will have a heart that wants to do right. No family ever breaks up while sincerely praying together for God's help. The Bible is clear. Divorce is permissible only in the case of adultery. But even then, it is not demanded, only permitted. Forgiveness is always better than divorce. Even in the case of a moral fall, marriage is for life. God so ordained it when it performed the first wedding in Eden. Thoughts of divorce as a solution will destroy any marriage. This is one reason Jesus ruled it out. Divorce is always destructive and almost never a solution to a problem. Instead, it creates much greater problems, so it should never be considered. Torn, frustrated, unhappy, twisted lives almost inevitably follow divorce, and even success in life itself is often threatened. God instituted marriage to guard people's purity and happiness, to provide for their social needs, and to elevate their physical, mental, and moral nature. Its vows are among the most solemn and binding obligations that human beings can assume. To lightly set them aside results in removing oneself from God's favor and blessings. A family intimacies must never be shared with others, not even with parents. It is a great sin and a strategy to break this God-given rule. A third person to sympathize or listen to complaints is a tool of the devil to estrange the hearts of husband and wife. Solve your home problems privately. No one else should ever be involved. Always be truthful with each other and never keep secret from each other. Tell no joke at the expense of your spouse's feelings. Vigorously defend each other and strictly exclude all intruders. And as for adultery, it always hurts you and everyone else involved. God, who knows our mind, body, and emotional structure, and when He says, "Don't," we had better not. Those who ignore this rule will pay the supreme penalty. So if flirtations have begun, break them off at once, or shadows may settle over your life that cannot be lifted. This is God's true description of love. How do you measure up? Love is not a sentimental impulse, but a holy principle that involves every phase and action of life. With true love, your marriage cannot fail. Without it, it can succeed. Your husband and wife may lack much, but nagging won't help. Don't expect defect or bitterness will result. Overlook faults and heart for the good things. Don't try to reform, control, or compel your partner. You will destroy love. Only God can change people. A sense of honor, a cheerful heart, kindness, patience, and affection will banish 2/3 of your marriage problems. Try to make your spouse happy rather than good, and the good will take care of itself. The secret of a successful marriage lies not in having the right partner, but rather in being the right partner. Laziness, disorder, dirty, and slovenliness are the devil's weapons to destroy your respect and affection for one another, and thus ruin your marriage. Neat modesty, entire and clean, well-groomed bodies are essential for both husband and wife. The meals should be wholesome, attractive, and served on time. The home should be clean and orderly, because this brings peace, calmness, and satisfaction to all. A lazy, shiftless husband who does not provide for his household is a curse to his family and an insult to God. Carelessness in some of these seemingly small matters is destroying homes. Force yourself to speak softly, kindly to your spouse. Silence when one is attacked is often the best method to cool wrath. Decisions made when angry, tired, or discouraged are unreliable anyway. So it is best to relax and let anger cool. And when you do speak, let it always be quietly and lovingly. Harsh, angry words crush your spouse's desire to please you. All possessions and income in marriage should be ours, not yours and mine. Wives should receive a regular amount for groceries, clothing, and other budgeted items. It should be cheerfully provided instead of grudgingly released under protest. Wife and husband both should have small equal sums to spend it desired without giving account. A miserly husband usually angers his wife into being a splendor, just as a wasteful husband makes a wife stingy. Showing confidence in your companion's managing ability will usually make him or her more businesslike. Few things will strengthen your marriage more than counseling together on all major decisions. Changing a job or purchasing a home, an automobile, a boat, furniture, clothing, and all other items that require money involves both husband and wife, and the opinions of both should be considered. Taking things over together will avoid many blunders that could ruin your marriage. If, after much decision and earnest prayer, opinions still differ, the wife should submit to her husband's decision. Scripture is clear on this. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Welcome back from that great message from Family Life Lecture.
Here is good news for you. We have free Bible Correspondence School that offer courses like Basic Health, Step to Christ, Bible Discovery, the Book of Daniel, the Book of Revelation, and Personal Bible Study Guide.
Therefore, to get these courses, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908 or write to us at Messages of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda, or 247, Juba, Sudan.
It is a right time to listen to the Word of God.
Brothers and sisters, this is Pastor Lubang Felix sharing with you the Word of God. As we have heard from our previous lessons, God had a plan for salvation, and He sent His Son Jesus to this world and save us from all our sins. Now we have a question. Where did Jesus come from? This question can be answered by our Bible. Let's turn to someone who was close with Jesus. That is the beloved John. In his Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." In verse 14, "The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is wonderful. John tells us that the Word existed in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. Without Him, there was nothing that was made. All things were made through Him. Here the Bible is very clear. We know very well that all things were made by God. That means Jesus was God. He made everything that exists today. I quote, in the book of Genesis, when God planned to create this world, and He did so, and lastly, when He decided to create human beings, He said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." That means God the Father was not alone. He shared His plans with His Son Jesus. So Jesus in the beginning was the active agency of creation. They planned and Jesus acted, and it was Jesus who created all things. Which means Jesus was from heaven. Let's prove that from Jesus' words Himself. In John chapter 3, verse 13, when Jesus was discussing with Nicodemus, He told him these words, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." So Jesus is the Son of Man who came from heaven, and nobody has ever gone to heaven except Jesus Himself. So Jesus clearly stated that He came from heaven, and He is the only one who can testify about heavenly things. So nobody ever claimed that He came from heaven except Jesus. So Jesus came to this world for the purpose of saving you. As we have heard from our previous lesson, that Jesus came as a lamb to take away the sin of the world. So Jesus has a mission. Let us repeat these words. Let us omit the word and give the name of Jesus, which should have been read, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that was made." In verse 14, "And Jesus became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the only and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is our God. Jesus took initiative to come and take away our sins and give us His goodness. So Jesus came from heaven. No doubt, if He were to come as God, we would not withstand Him. But He came and took human flesh, and He became a human being like us. That was why He was able to stay with us. And that was why He was named Emmanuel, God with us. And indeed, Jesus as God came from heaven and dwelt among us to experience our hardness, our suffering, and to teach us and to give us example of godliness. Jesus lived, He never insulted anyone. He lived and suffered like us. He lived, He loved everyone. And that was the life expected of human beings. As such, when we come to Jesus, we come to learn of such character that we need to love, we need to forgive, we need to endure, we need to love one another as he loved us. So Jesus was a guest from heaven to this world. When he completed his mission, he went back to heaven. And I'm sure he has a plan more of that. And one day and one time, we shall meet him face to face and see him eye to an eye. Is that a good news? If it is good news, say amen. So brothers and sisters, God has a good plan for you. Let's listen to our brother Titus. He has a good message for you. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It reads, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So, Jesus Christ is our great God. Titus calls him God. So, we have set our hope that one time we shall see Jesus face to face, and that let that be our hope, because we are hoping for that glorious appearing of our great God, that is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let that be your plan, hoping to see Jesus, as the farmers are hoping to harvest their crops. In the same way, you also hope to see Jesus so that you may be with him, so that Jesus' death on the cross will not be in vain, but you will benefit from that. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for having listened to this message. May you give your heart to Jesus today, so that when he comes, you may see him face to face. Thank you for your good decision. Let's pray. Father, those who have given their heart to you now, receive them and accept them as their sons and daughters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the words of God. And if you have questions, comments, suggestions, please write to us at Messages of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda. Or call us on telephone number 0782-710-908.
As we are ending our program for tonight, you'll be listening for more program next week on the same time at the same frequency. God bless you.